Well, Merry Christmas. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Christmas as much this year as any year in recent history. After the year that we've had, let's bring on some joy and love worshiping with you with some Christmas hymns and carols this morning. Today we're going to talk about Do Not Be Afraid, God Hears Our Prayers. We're going to focus on Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 25. And we're really going to try to answer the question, what do you do when life does not turn out as you expected? We can all relate to that this year. This has been a year that no one expected. So what do you do in a year like this? Perhaps you've seen, or I'm sure we can all relate to some of the images I want to put up on the screen. If 2020 was a hula hoop. Look at this one, and I know I've felt a little bit of pain this year by 2020, and had gone through some experiences where I think that pretty well fits. But here's another one. What if 2020 were a mug? Ever had those problems that normally you just, and am I going to get burned? What's going to happen here? What am I gonna do? What if 2020 were a pinata? I think this one sums it up pretty well as well, yeah. We've all got stung by 2020 this year. And the last one, what if 2020 were a math problem? You're going down a river at 2 miles per hour and your canoe loses a wheel. How much pancake mix would you need to re-shingle your roof? I don't know how many times this year I'm trying to solve something and the problem changes partway through and I sure don't know what the solution is. I actually put that one up there as much for Pastor Jim and Pastor Carter as anybody. If you need to know how many cubic feet of air you need in a refined space to keep yourself safe during COVID, tell Pastor Carter how many people are meeting, and in a split second, he's got the equation memorized. He can tell you what you need to do to keep yourself safe. It's wonderful to be a part of a team of smart people that are helping us navigate through a year like this, because 2020 has not been a year that any of us have expected. So what do you do when life doesn't turn out how you expected, or the year doesn't end the way you anticipated at the beginning of it? In Luke, before we get to the Christmas story, before we get to Mary and Joseph and Jesus, Luke gives us the account of the birth of John the Baptist. He tells us about Zechariah. He tells us about Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth find themselves at a place in life that they didn't expect to be. They don't have any children, and they're too old to have any kids. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Follow along as I read it for us. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But, and verse 7 gives us a contrast that we're going to look at today, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were very old. These verses provide the background for us. Zechariah and Elizabeth. In verse 5, they're both descendants of Aaron. Now, that's Moses' brother. That makes them a priestly couple. We get to verse 6. They're described as righteous in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. What a statement about them. But when you get to verse 7, again, that contrast, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Verses 8 through 10 give us a little bit more of the background. In verse 8, we described how that Zechariah is one of approximately 18,000 priests and Levites that would serve at the temple about 1 week every 6 months of the year. So it's Zechariah's week to come in and serve. And in verses 9 and 10, we're told how this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah, because on this occasion, he's the person chosen to go into the temple and to burn the incense. So in these introductory background setting verses, Luke inventories Zechariah and Elizabeth's characteristics, their character, their credentials, to emphasize the godliness of their lives. But they didn't have a child. Now, 2,000 years ago, culturally, this would have brought shame on them to be at this point in their life, to not to have children, viewed differently than we do today. These righteous people had lived a life. Remember, it's blameless, yet with deep disappointment, never having the child that they longed for. Elizabeth, even in verse 25, refers to it as her disgrace among the people. Now, not only did this lack of child separate them from everyone else culturally, but it also was a point of economic instability in their life. Retirement plan was really to have children who would come along that would begin to provide income for the extended family. So at this point in life, they don't know what they're going to do financially. They don't know what's coming next. They had no source of income. What would happen? Many in the community had probably assumed that it was sin that kept them from having a child. So it's very important for Luke in these verses to counter that this family was blameless. It wasn't a lack of faith. It wasn't sin. It wasn't that they just hadn't prayed enough. Yet, like them, we today often experience shame due to factors out of our control. Sometimes righteous, blameless people experience disappointment in life. What do we do when we've not reached a significant milestone? What do we do when we don't have the answers to the why questions that we're facing, maybe in life or maybe just in a year like 2020? We know that God promises hope for the hopeless. But what do we do during those in-between times when we're waiting on God's answer? We're waiting on His response. We're waiting on His direction. Today, let's look at Luke chapter 1 and examine what we can do when we look at how, first of all, God responds to our prayers in His timing. Secondly, how Zechariah asks questions. And third, how Elizabeth responds with faith and praise. What do you do when life does not turn out as you expected? Let's look together. Remember, let's start with what God does. God answers our prayers in His timing. Now back to our story. Zechariah is in the temple. He's serving. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Now I want to come back to the middle of verse 13 where we get our title for today. I want to say it again. Do not be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Will you repeat that line with me today? Apply it with faith to whatever you're facing right now in this moment. Do not be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Now, Zechariah may have prayed hundreds of times for a child over the years, and now at last, the answer has come. Zechariah and Elizabeth, righteous, observing all the Lord's commands, blamelessly, had to wonder why God hadn't answered this prayer earlier in their life. Why did they have to go through all the questions of others? Why did they have to live through all the misunderstandings that they had experienced? You know, sometimes I try to make my plans clear to God. Okay, Lord, I really know in this situation that I think you need to do this way. And I'm sure that's what you have for my life. And I'll have a particular time frame and I'm praying about it and asking God to do what I think is best. How many times does that time frame come and go? And seemingly, I don't have the response that I was looking for. Sometimes we feel deprived because God actually has something better waiting for us just down the road. God's plan has His own design and timing. He knows things that I don't know. He sees things that I cannot see. When we wait patiently for the Lord, He often gives us more than we could have imagined possible. Zechariah and Elizabeth were looking for a baby. What they received was a prophet. Do you trust God's timing, even when it's not your timing? Verse 18 brings us to Zechariah and Elizabeth's response. Our original question, what do you do when life or this year does not turn out as you expected? So next, let's look at how Zechariah responds, what Zechariah does. Zechariah asks questions. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, after the angels told him the answer to his prayer, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. I remember back in verses 11 and 12, Zechariah is afraid. He's overwhelmed. He's not sure what's coming. He's not sure what to do. Now Zechariah raises doubts about the angel's message. He asks for a sign because they're too old to have children, right? Sometimes good people have doubts about God's message. I can relate to Zechariah. Matter of fact, I think if Zechariah were alive today, he might have been from Missouri. We're the show me state, right? Don't just tell me, show me, prove it to me, give me a sign. That's what Zechariah is doing here. Sometimes God's promises, God's word can seem overwhelming. You know, God, are you for sure about this? Lord, you want me to do what? God, that seems like a little bit more than I can handle. Well, why don't you just ask somebody else to do that? Or just like in the case of Zechariah, God, are you sure? You can ask God questions. Other people throughout history have asked God for an explanation or for a sign when sometimes what God is saying seems overwhelming or they need an explanation. Abraham questioned God when he was told that he would have a child and Sarah is 90 years old in Genesis chapter 17. In the next chapter, Sarah laughs at the prospect because she knows her age. Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20 asked God for a sign when told that God would heal him. And what about Gideon in Judges chapter 6? Angel appears just like here. He's afraid, says, do not be afraid, just like with Zechariah. And then the angel goes on to share, God is going to use you to clear all the idols out of the land. God is going to use you to drive out the Midianites and then to draw God's people back to him. Gideon, like Zechariah, like us often, a little overwhelmed with what he's hearing, says, okay, God, I need a sign. He says, I'm going to take this wool, I'm going to put it outside, and in the morning when the dew comes, make the wool wet, but keep the ground all around it dry. Sure enough, God gives him the sign. That's what happens the next morning. Gideon, perhaps like me and you, says, let's do that again, only this time let's flip that around a little bit. This time when I put the wool out, keep the wool dry, make the ground all wet around it, and then I'll know it's you. Sure enough, the second time, God does the same thing. Again, we can relate to that. I think of an incident several years ago, when I was out deer hunting, and I've seen a couple of my deer hunting friends in the audience today. We've just finished deer season recently, and I often hunt with my dad down south about an hour here. It's real hilly. There's acorns, great deer area, but the leaves are always on the ground. My sons will go out with me, and I remember years back, setting out on a ridge in the morning, beautiful, the sun's just starting to come up, and often those are times where you kind of drift in and out of prayer. For me, deer season is as much about getting out in nature and in the woods as anything. That particular morning, you know, you got to get up earlier than you ever would. You're watching the sun come up. And as someone who's extremely extroverted, to sit still and say nothing for all morning is a bit of a challenge for me. So it's a good experience that I'm living. And this particular morning, I had a situation where I needed an answer. And I had choices A and I had choices B. And I was asking God to give me some direction on that. Partway through the morning, I said, okay, Lord, how about this? A little bit like Gideon. How about, here's a sign. If I get a deer this morning, that means you want me to do choice A. Practically, I mean, I like choice A. It was my favorite one, so I figured I'd stack it a little bit, right? Okay, Lord, this is what's going to happen here. So again, I'm trying to set quiet, leaves all around. Pretty soon I hear the chomp, 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 you know, of the deer hooves coming through the leaves. I slowly turn, squirrel. I mean, there's more squirrels out during deer season than anything, right? It wasn't a deer at all. I get a little frustrated because I'm not always the most patient. I'm waiting, wanting God's answer. And after probably an hour or so, I said, well, what if it's choice B that I'm supposed to do and I don't get a deer today? So I flipped it. So, okay, Lord, now if I get a deer, that means I'm supposed to do choice B. And I wait, chomp, 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 more squirrels, nothing, on and on and on and on. And I changed it again. Pretty soon I said, I'm not seeing anything but squirrels today. Okay, God, if I at least see a deer, I mean, I don't even need to take a shot. If I can see a deer and partway through, I changed it to the other one again. By the time I walked out of the woods in the morning, I hadn't seen a deer. I didn't know what God had. I was so confused, more confused than when I went into the woods. I was hunting with my dad, who was over on another ridge, and another friend, Mark Turney. He's a missionary in Africa for the last several years. And Mark said, hey, how's hunting? How'd it go this morning? And I explained to him the choices and the deer and the not deer and how confused I was. And he said, Steve, I remember these words to this day. God is not going to let you make a decision that's going to ruin the rest of your life if you're really trying to live for him. If your heart's right, you're really wanting to hear his voice. You may not get it perfect all the time, but God's not going to let you walk off the cliff with a decision if you're really all about him. He said, you just need to keep walking with God. Remember those words to this day. And you know, that's what Zechariah did. Zechariah kept walking with God. He kept serving at the temple. When it was his turn to come in, he served with excellence. He served God in a literal act of worship, even when he didn't have the answer to the question as to why life had turned out the way it had for he and Elizabeth. Their life circumstances weren't any different, yet he kept walking. He kept serving. Zechariah wasn't even looking for it in this moment, but what more powerful of an opportunity to have an encounter with God than during an act of worship like we're experiencing here this morning? Keep walking with God. Sometimes I want Gabriel to show up and give me that, thus saith the Lord, right? In this particular incident, why don't you do exactly this? Most of the time, I should probably say all the time of my life, the answer I tend to receive is, you know, just walk with me today. And when tomorrow arrives, the Lord says, I'll be with you tomorrow. Just keep walking with God. How can you keep walking with God today, even if you haven't received your answer, even if you still have questions? How do you keep walking with God? You know, what godly habits do you need to maybe strengthen during the month of December? It's been a weird year. Some of our systems, our habits, our life, it's different. Man, we can't walk up and give each other a hug. We don't have the same kind of interaction that we would normally have. We're not able to have the same types of services. We're online more with what we're doing. What godly habits do you need to strengthen at this point to continue walking with God? How can you, like Zechariah, continue to serve? I want to thank everybody who served today. When you walked in, there was a host at the door that greeted you. We've got a great team over at Central Kids ministering to our children. Tonight, we'll have tribes, and we got a great youth team that'll be there. Our opportunities look a little bit different, don't they, Pastor Anthony, now than how we started the year? But we have opportunities, if you feel comfortable with the interaction, to be able to serve. There are ways in which you could jump in and in January start serving. Talk to Pastor Anthony. Come back to the Connect counter. We'd be glad to plug you into serving. But as always, be careful what you ask God for. Verses 19 through 20, Zechariah asked for the sign. Here's the angel's response. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have to pause right there because those words just jump off the page at me. Can you imagine? What power. Have you heard that? I stand in the presence of God. Wow. There's a whole other message in that. Don't have time to get into that today. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Verse 20, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. You will be silent. It's as if the angel tells Zechariah, you know, just sit over here and be quiet while God does his work. Just watch and see what God does. And so a sign is given to Zechariah. He's temporarily mute. not able to speak until in verses 63 and 64, he confirms the name John for his son and regains his speech at that time. So remember, do not be afraid. God hears our prayers. God keeps his promises. He will perform his word. Zechariah must listen to God, must be open to trust that God will do what he has promised. We can ask God difficult questions. We don't understand when we're not sure what the next step is. It happens throughout Scripture many times in the Psalms, but we've got to be ready to hear God's response and the answer that he gives. So what do you do when life does not turn out as you expected? Well, finally, let's look at what Elizabeth does. Elizabeth responds with faith and praise. But Elizabeth does not blame God. Verses 23 through 25, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away his disgrace from among the people. We can sympathize with Elizabeth's plight of not having a child. Life had seemingly not turned out the way she had planned or expected, but Elizabeth serves as an example as to how we should respond. God did not owe Elizabeth this response. Yet, despite her personal disappointment, Elizabeth did not embrace bitterness. Elizabeth did not blame God. She didn't react as a victim, even though she noted that this caused her to feel the disgrace among those that were around her. Maybe her response is one reason God calls them blameless and righteous. In fact, Elizabeth seems to have accepted this fate and continued to serve the Lord faithfully anyway. I've seen people choose bitterness in life, something unfair, unjust, or just misunderstood happens. And the choices that they make in that moment of bitterness, they're never able to quite move past that in their life, in the trying times that they experience. If you choose bitterness, it will yield the fruit of anger and frustration, sapping the joy from your life. But if you choose trust and dependence on God, we can find ways to find fulfillment in him that we would have never imagined. Sometimes a roadblock is not a dead end, it's just a fresh turn in the road. Do you need to stop blaming God for something today? Neither Zechariah nor Elizabeth chose bitterness. So when the situation is reversed, Elizabeth gives the credit to God. Let me read verse 25 for you again. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. She does not forget God, but chooses to rejoice in what God has done to renew her. Elizabeth teaches us that we can take our sense of grief, our sense of disappointment in God, to God, but in the same way, we must take our rejoicing and our thankfulness to him as well. Do you need to give God the credit for something today? As we conclude, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and prepare for response time. You know, there are a myriad of things in life and in a year like this that can cause us disappointment. Good, blameless people may even this year especially need to learn to rely even more on God. Sometimes the answer to what we face is unclear. We never fully recognize or understand why, whether it's a difficulty with a family member, whether it's the loss of a job, perhaps it's a financial collapse, perhaps it's just an unfortunate accident that you've come across. Perhaps you're an elementary through college student. You feel like you don't know what your classroom looked like and you don't know how to get work turned in when it's just such a crazy, crazy year. Every student I've talked to in the youth ministry this year is like, yeah, I'm so far behind, I don't know what to do. It's just been one of those years for all of us. You know, God never guarantees us a life without pain or disappointment. The central issue is how we handle it. I've learned more through the difficult times in my life than I have the easy times. Now, I'm not asking for more difficulties, but God knows what's best for me. Luke 1 shows us what we can do, because it shows us how God answers our prayers in his timing. Shows us how Zechariah asked questions, and it shows us how Elizabeth responds with faith and praise and decides to give God the credit, not the blame. So what do we do when the year turns out differently than we expected? What do you do when you're at a point in life where life has turned out differently than you expected? We keep walking with God. We keep serving him. We keep trusting him. We wait for his answer. We ask the questions, but we're ready for his response. We give him the credit.